Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black. We'll see if Hayden rolls in here anytime. are we doing ourselves a disservice by making him think it's a bit?
Like, maybe. That may be it. Funny? Maybe, like, he's leaning into it a little bit now.
Like, does he think that I think it's actually funny, like when we clap in here? Because I don't think it's funny. Especially today when Draven's out with a tummy ache. I mean, at what age do you quit getting tummy aches?
Tummy's got an owie.
Or at least what age do you get a tummy ache? Do you like to say, well, Cass, I've still got to fight through it here?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, COVID's one thing, but a tummy ache is another. Like, I feel like that's something you just kind of suck up.
Yeah. Take some Pepto and keep it moving.
Yeah. You think the troops get tummy aches? Yeah, no. They do, but they don't talk about it.
They still go out there and fight for our country.
You think ISIS gets tummy aches and, like, they come together and, like, hey, we can't go out here and do our terror?
No, their tummy aches are from the bombs implanted in them.
Okay, well, yeah, probably.
And they still power through.
I'm just annoyed today.
Guess I won't ask you how you are today because we got that, okay?
Yeah, no need to ask. And I'm wondering, am I doing myself a disservice by making it a bit? Because, I mean, like, we're up to, it's 12:03.
Yeah, this is a late one. Usually he's at least 12:02, but this is getting out of hand a little bit.
There was the other day the train made him 12:06.
Yeah. There was a train earlier, but I you know, zoomed around it. There's shortcuts.
Well, you can't keep making the train excuse because apparently, like, maybe the train just runs every day at 11:50, yeah. I guess. Like, there's ways around the train.
Absolutely. You know, it could leave your house earlier.
So I'm wondering if I'm doing myself a disservice by laughing at it, making a bit. Oh, how nice to join us. It's not funny. I'm over laughing about it. It's not funny. The Periscope's not up. It's not updated over here. I can't launch it because we got a bunch of names over there on it, and I don't know how to take it off. I got the podcast up. Don't worry. I know how to run that one. I know how to do that. But as far as the video goes, I don't really know much about the video. That's why I keep four of you in here, so I don't have to worry about it. But at least your tummy's not hurting. So at least we got that going for us. Cam, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I can't complain. It was beautiful weather all weekend, so that was nice. Things like that. Can't complain on that front. Just typical weekend. Typical weekend. Enjoyed it. Didn't do too much. Had a good time with it.
Nice weather. I went and played a little Top Golf on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
In Chattanooga. Okay. Brother-in-law's birthday. It was fun.
Setting records out there?
No.
You got your golf swing back?
No. I did hit a couple nice ones, which was nice. Did get the itch back a little bit after that.
I don't know if the gym you just made you hit rockets out there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I might be stronger hitting. I mean, that could be true, but if you can't hit, like, it doesn't really matter how strong you are. If you can't hit. Although, like I said, there was probably like three or four I got some really good contact on and sent it flying. Okay. So I was like, okay. Got me the itch a little bit to maybe take another lesson to, you know, get back on it. But I know that's just ultimately a bad decision. So I then just sat down and let them play. Because they got 3 hours of Top Golf. I was like, that's too many hours.
Yeah, that's a lot. Wow.
That's too many hours. They were just vibing, eating chicken fingers and little sliders and just hitting golf balls. But after like an hour and, you know.
Yeah, I think an hour and a half is probably like my cap on that.
Like
kind of
like a 15% swing success rate after that. I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit.
Yeah.
Let the guys who are good. Let you guys battle it out instead
take
of
a whack at it.
Yeah, instead of wasting everyone's time for my five swings at a time. Other than that, was good. Good weekend of sports.
Yeah.
Yesterday, just kind of took it easy, watched a movie, things like that. It's nice to whenever you get to see. It's something you took for granted. Pre-COVID was new movies always coming out, at least like good ones that are supposed to be like in theaters. Mm-hmm. So it is nice now that they start slowly coming back out. It's always nice. It feels like a treat to get to watch anything.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, Godzilla King Kong felt like, oh, wow, this is a blockbuster I've been yearning for.
They did overperform what they thought they were going to get at the box office, too. So,
at the box office?
Yeah, just because, with the pandemic itself, they weren't expecting huge numbers or anything. But
right, so what did they get? What did they get at the quote-unquote box office?
I can't remember the exact number, but it was definitely... I remember seeing some articles about they were like, okay, it kind of overperformed expectations.
Are they just trying to break even at this point in these movies? Is that the new goal right now?
I'd say so, because I'm sure you're getting some money from the HBO Max deal, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you want to clear at the box office, at least make everything else profit.
Well, it says that it made $10 million. At the box office.
Okay. Oh.
Wait. Hold on. 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 No. 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 That's the 1962 version. Which, of course, that's what I'm trying to search right now when I type in Kong versus Godzilla box office. Yeah.
The same thing.
Although I guess it's Godzilla versus Kong. I guess they switched the name for that very reason. Because I was looking, it's like the budget was $600,000. I was like, wait a second. That movie took way more.
Yeah. Yeah. That
took way more.
Okay, $300 million in ticket sales.
Okay, wow, yeah.
$390 million worldwide.
Pandemic
so far.
Best, 390. Okay, I see that from the Hollywood Reporter. That's pretty good. Open it up, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that going for us. Here over the weekend, we had another SEC manager fed up with what's going on in Knoxville, I guess. Vanderbilt's manager, was talking about how COVID doesn't exist in Knoxville. And at first, it seemed like a slight, and then it seemed more like he was begging for his school to open it up. Begging for his school to allow fans at the stadium because he's like, yeah, in Knoxville, they had a pretty good home atmosphere. Bother us a little bit. That was a fun series.
It was fun,
a little bit of a whimper yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday was awesome. Saturday felt like a huge moment. For Tennessee, Evan Russell, out of his mind on Saturday.
Wow. That was something. That was pretty incredible to watch and very impressive, especially against, a team like Vanderbilt that's so good across the board.
Yeah, which credit to Vanderbilt. They're one of the teams that it feels special beating in that sport. So, it's a testament to them and how great they are. And it does suck that... it is Vanderbilt, but it's a rivalry. Hasn't really been much of one in baseball, recently, obviously. But Tennessee able to touch up lighter a little bit, then win the game against the bullpen. And it felt like a huge moment, that grand slam in the eighth. People were asking if it was the best moment we've had since the Hail Mary. Which.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. It felt like a thing. Hayden, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good, John.
Good to hear. Happy you're here. What did you think about the Grand Slam? How big of a moment did it feel to you?
I don't think it's the biggest moment since the Hail Mary. We've had pretty good basketball moments since then. Football. We had the goal one set against Georgia Tech was pretty that felt huge when it happened. But seeing as the team kind of went down the toilet, it was not insignificant.
So I guess it wasn't a goal line stand per se, but it was a 2-point conversion stop, Isn't that what happened? 2-point conversion stop.
After they'd already ran for 800 yards or whatever.
You know, someone asked me that, and I said, yeah, the Georgia Tech goal line stand and the Kentucky goal line stand from last year. Or, you know, I guess from 2019 at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, the hypest I've probably been of any moment was when Admiral probably hit that 35-footer against Purdue.
Yeah.
Or the Gonzaga shot.
The Gonzaga shot was cool, too. But, I mean, that's, you know, for football, obviously, all these have been, quote-unquote, insignificant. For baseball, I mean, that was a big moment. It sucks that you turn around and lost the series. Do we know where Tennessee fell to? I saw in one poll they're down to number 6, which, I mean, is fine. You lose 2 out of 3 against the, you know, one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country. You're not going to fall too far. So I imagine Tennessee was still going to be a top 7, top 8 team pretty much on all of the polls.
Yep.
We'll see how this season ends up, but it was cool. It was cool on Saturday. It felt important. Again, if you had turned around and won the series, that would have been, you know, even amplified.
For sure. And I think that, like, the way you won on Saturday kind of almost put more expectations on, like, a good game on Sunday. So yeah. It kind of just kind of dampened that a little bit.
Yeah, especially when you beat, you know, the pitcher you beat. Like, you made it through the gauntlet of Rocker and Leiter. And you're like, okay, this third guy, we can touch him up a little bit. And Tennessee, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, they went back-to-back home runs in the first inning is, you know, there again, right? And had a 2-1 lead after one. So you're okay, the bats are here. And then, you know, Tennessee just sloppy in the field again. I don't know at this point if you can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like if you're a bad defensive baseball team, you're just going to kind of be a bad defensive baseball team. And Tennessee at this point does kind of seem like a bad defensive baseball team. Yep. It almost cost you that game on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the two-out error, and then you had an infield single.
Yep.
And then a blast. The next thing you knew, you're losing. You're like, oh, man, we just blew this great start.
Yep.
By the pitcher, we just blew this start, and here we go. Now, again, Tennessee was able to rally and win that game, but you saw it, you know, kind of rear its head on Sunday as well.
Mm-hmm. And that makes me a little concerned postseason-wise, you know, You got to be on it across the board, you know, to have big success in the postseason there. But, yeah, hopefully they can clean something up at some point. But, I mean, we did go into this weekend saying we wanted to win, go 3-3 against these two series. And, I mean, we did that. It's just, yeah, I think that Saturday kind of.
If you'd have won the way you did on Saturday on Sunday and ended the weekend.
Yeah.
That way,
oh, yeah.
Even if you still had lost the first two games, I'm not even saying win the series. I'm just saying if you had won the game on Saturday on Sunday, you'd be coming in riding high. Instead, it feels like a little bit of a letdown. But again, it's baseball. Tennessee had won all the series. Tennessee's still what 10-5 in the SEC.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 10-5
in the SEC.
Five series. That's right. Yeah,
a game behind Vandy, tied with South Carolina. A game behind Arkansas, tied with Mississippi State. So, I mean, you're right there where you need to be. And I think now Tennessee, what, we get Texas A&M this upcoming weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're not very good at all?
Well, they went to extra innings with Arkansas on Saturday, and they beat them on Sunday.
Okay.
So
they went 1-2. Well, I mean, they're if you're just looking at them, they are, you know, 4-11 in the conference. 21-17 overall. I mean, they had a good weekend, I guess. But I think Tennessee should go out there and win that series. You don't disagree with that, right?
Yeah, they should win it. It's on the road, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I said go out there. You go out there and win it. You know, obviously a sweep would be best, but just go out there and win 2 out of 3 and get back on track, and then you'll have Kentucky coming up the weekend after for a big series. So you made it through the Florida-Vanderbilt quote-unquote gauntlet. I know Florida isn't as good as we thought they were going to be, although they're all of a sudden just one game behind Tennessee. I believe they swept their weekend series. So chance for Tennessee to get back on track. A&M 4-11. In conference, your upcoming opponent, Kentucky, the week after that, 7-8. So, you know, Tennessee should be able to get back on track.
Yep.
Hopefully.
I have all the rankings here, John.
Okay.
For the new poll here.
Yeah, give it to me.
So, D1 Baseball Tennessee is 6th. They fell one spot. Let's see here.
So, 6, falling one spot. Okay.
USA Today Coaches Poll. They're 5. They fell 2 spots. They were 3. That was when they were 3 in. Baseball America, they are now 7. They were 5 last week. That's the 3 biggest ones.
So give me those again. 7. 7, 6.
7, 6, 5.
Okay. So like yeah. I said, top 17. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. Stay in the top 10.
Yeah.
What that basically means is that, you know, everyone obviously respects Vanderbilt. That wasn't a bad series loss nationally. Now, it does kind of show how far you have to go. But again, you're chasing a program that takes baseball way more seriously than you have.
Yeah.
Like, what was the scholarship breakdown that was going around? Like, are all 27 people on Vanderbilt's team on scholarship? Is that right? You guys see that number going around? I think it changed recently. And, like, I think it's up to the sport to decide. So, like, I guess Vanderbilt's like, hey, we're good at baseball. We're going to give all of our, you know, we're going to max this out. Because I think it's to the school's discretion, right?
I didn't even know you could do that. I thought you could only do, like, 12 scholarships for baseball or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that changed either. But, yeah, that's insane.
Tennessee has 11.7. Kind of like with what basically the whole SEC does, I think.
And that's, like, divided between all the players. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, they're all on halves and
right.
quarters
and all
that. Like
that. Yeah, I would imagine, you know, maybe some of the best players get a little bit more, but
yeah.
Especially if you can't, you know, also come up and get a hold of any academic scholarships. But that's just, you know, you're just chasing. You're chasing Vanderbilt.
Yep.
And that's fine. So basically, they have a thing called Opportunity Vanderbilt. They put that in 2008. So they have their 11.7, I guess is what you're saying, Hayden. Like, I think that is a rule. But in 2008, Vanderbilt created Opportunity Vanderbilt, which promised that any student who was admitted to the school would not be prevented from attending due to the cost of tuition. The school looked at each student's family income, how much it could reasonably provide for their child to attend Vanderbilt, and subtracted that from the regular cost. So basically, if you're a baseball player and you get in, they can alter how much money they charge you.
Okay.
Now, if your family's, you know, got $1 million and can easily afford your tuition, you don't get to, like, I guess, alter your cost of attendance. You just take your quarter of a scholarship or whatever it is. But say you come from a family that, you know, can't afford Vanderbilt, you know, in other situations, you know, it costs over $70,000 for a year of school there.
Yeah.
They can say, okay, well, this parent, these family can afford to pay $12,000. So we're going to wipe out the rest of that, and their scholarship will help that and all that, blah, blah, blah. So I guess that's why people are throwing out the 27 number, because Tim Corbin helped put that in there, and he gets to basically, I guess, have fun with the numbers.
Makes sense. Wow. Okay.
So pretty much you're just crediting financial aid to anybody you want to.
Yeah. And with them being a private school, I think it helps them as well.
That makes sense, too.
So that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Well, speaking of scholarships, speaking of recruiting, Tennessee kind of surprised a lot of people with, and then, you know, I guess reports today, I don't think it's officially announced, but pretty much all but understood that Tennessee is adding another quarterback to the team. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks.
Tennessee adds another quarterback.
More arms, the better, I guess.
I mean, sure, I guess. Joe Milton.
Yes.
From Michigan. It is being widely reported that he is coming to Tennessee.
Hopefully we get the guy in week one that everybody thought was about to be the greatest quarterback Michigan's had in forever.
Yeah.
And then not the rest of the year one.
Well, I mean, I remembered it the same way you did, Cam, in terms of like him like looking awesome against Minnesota.
Yep.
And then I went and looked at his stats from that game, and I was blown away.
Were they not good, actually, on paper?
Yeah, I was blown away by by how average they were, which, I mean, they won 49-24. And I, like you, remember just the quarterback balling out.
Mm-hmm.
But his numbers, Cam, were 15 of 22 for 225 yards and one touchdown.
Yeah, everybody was talking like Michigan finally has a quarterback.
Now, he added 8 rushes for 52 yards and a touchdown.
That's probably why we were getting a little.
But still, that's 270 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a not a like great day by any means. And quite frankly, he never really duplicated that rushing performance outside of the very next week against Michigan State. Like, he had 12 carries for 59 yards, and then that was it. That was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. And then we did remember that the Minnesota defense was god-awful.
Right, right. You know, against Indiana, struggled, threw a couple picks. It looked really bad against Indiana from what I remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could barely complete a pass. And then 9 of 19, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions against Wisconsin. Got benched, I believe, against Rutgers. Was 5 of 12 for 89 yards. Threw three passes against Penn State. Like, he was, benched. He was taken out, and he was not going to be the starting quarterback at Michigan.
I think Michigan ended up barely winning that Rutgers game, didn't they?
Yeah, they won in 3 overtimes. Like, Rutgers missed like a 25-yard field goal, or like a 30-yard field goal.
It was like a soccer player, wasn't it? They subbed in.
Yeah, they missed a chip shot field goal for the win, and then Michigan ended up winning in 3 overtimes.
Oof.
So what do we make of this? Like, Joe Milton, like, when I read those stats to you, it doesn't sound like he's very good.
Yeah, he's just some added depth at quarterback, you know.
Well, is that not problematic that we're adding depth? I mean, like, so do we think he's coming here to be the backup? Is that your initial takeaway?
If he's starting, I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, I'm already concerned that we feel the need to bring him in regardless because, again, we have 5 scholarship quarterbacks. Now, again, I think every day we get further and further away from the quote-unquote incident, the less likely it seems that Caden Salter's ever going to play here. Like, you know, Josh Heupel was asked about him over the weekend about the suspended players. He was basically like, I can't come in with suspended players. They're suspended. I don't know. And I just think the student affairs stuff is going to be tougher on him than like any of the team would have been in terms of him being cleared. And even if he is cleared, like, I think at this point he's going to miss, you know, pretty much all of spring.
Mm-hmm.
So if he is here, like, I don't feel good about his chances of being the starting quarterback. You know, Bailey wasn't recruited by the staff, doesn't have a strong enough arm.
Yeah.
Hooker transferred here, not to the staff. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, either one of those guys transferred again. So I wouldn't be surprised if Salter or Bailey transferred. Hooker maybe stays and battles it out. I don't know. Because he came here. Like, surely he knew. Like, surely someone told him, like, hey, there's a chance that Jerry Pruitt's not going to be here because he committed, like, during an investigation, right? Like, surely somebody got to him and was like, hey.
Yeah, he committed, like, the middle of December.
Right. Surely somebody's like, hey, this might not go well for you, buddy. Was it middle of December? I feel like it was before or after then. Middle of December is still, like, in the middle of the season. Like, or not in the middle of the season, but middle of the game when he gets to Texas A&M. I feel like he was a January guy.
Yeah.
See if you can find the exact date, but, like, we knew the investigation was going on because people were like, oh, look, we wouldn't be bringing in people if Pruitt was getting fired.
He committed it December 17th.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
When was the Texas A&M game? Was it the 19th?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. That was.
Or was that the SEC championship game? Was it the 12th?
We played A&M on the SEC championship day.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, that was the 19th.
Okay.
With Florida the 12th.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, you know, it's been a while. The timeline hasn't, it doesn't seem as familiar as it once did. But we announced the investigation Texas A&M Day, right?
Yeah, well, we had
Gray
and Brian Maurer out.
And that was the Texas A&M game, right? So I guess Hooker transferred here before it became official. So, okay. Raw deal for him. I, for some reason, thought he had committed, like, in January. And people were saying, look, Pruitt's not going anywhere, which I guess they still would have been that game week because we were wanting to fire Pruitt for just performance before the whole investigation thing. So, like, really, you know what they say, Cam, if you have four quarterbacks, you have zero. So maybe maybe this
But
this
would
guy,
we have six now? Five, six?
Five. So maybe Milton looked and said, hey, they ain't got any quarterbacks there. I could come there and win a starting spot. Or maybe he's just like, hey, I want to finish my degree somewhere and, like, at least have somewhat of a chance to play. And, you know, there's no solidified starter for Tennessee. Joe Milton is from Orlando. Therefore, he would have ties to, you know, UCF and Josh Heupel. Maybe there's some type of relationship there, him being from Orlando.
Yeah, maybe. Heupel probably saw a good bit of him in high school,
assume. Yeah, I mean, it was a class of 2018, so, I mean, you know, Heupel would have been at UCF at that time, so maybe there was some type of recruiting, you know.
Yeah.
So really what I would just say coming out of this is that I just feel very, you know, even worse about the roster, the situation. Like, we're using five scholarships currently on a quarterback whenever we, like, don't have any linebackers. Like, I would have rather taken a transfer at almost any position than this guy.
Well, we got plenty of open scholarships for next year, John, so maybe we're just trying to give it out to anybody who'll take it.
Well, again, I would rather it be to go to anybody. Any other position than a quarterback at this point now, or at least this quarterback. Now, if you told me you're getting, like, a good quarterback, I'd say, okay, let's try it out. We don't have one of those on this roster. But another project, for lack of a better term, like another guy that you're looking at and saying, oh, well, maybe it's coaching that held him back. That's not a good sign. Now, to be fair to him, like, Michigan's offensive line was in shambles towards the end of the year. So, you know, maybe he can go back to having some success if he's here in Tennessee with Josh Heupel, maybe. But, like, he's not a program changer by any means, I don't think. Like, he's not that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not at all. He's not some big name, you know, quarterback recruit we're getting in that's going to change the program or anything.
Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's get Don. Don wants to talk quarterbacks. Don, thanks for joining the show. The floor is yours.
Yeah, guys. Just wanted to touch base on in your discussion there. It seems that Heupel had recruited Milton to Central Florida a couple of years. When he was at Missouri, he was recruiting him. I watched Milton play a little bit last year. I don't watch much Big Ten football, but I'm just flipping channels and stuff and saw him get pulled from one game. I don't remember which one it was, but I think they're just looking, unfortunately, to see what they can turn up. I don't understand how one school can get that many 4- and 5-star quarterbacks in, and none of them are good. How does that happen?
You know, you could argue the same. Like, I think Tennessee and Michigan are in very similar situations in terms of not being able to find a quarterback.
Yeah. Yep.
Like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. All right, great. And then they've been chasing that high ever since, it seems like.
Yeah, because I've watched Michigan, you know, here and there, a big game like Ohio State or something. They've had, like you said, they've had the same issue. But, you know, like Bailey, I watched him in some all-star games and different stuff, even some regular season games last year or year before last, and I'd have never believed that he would have his – big issues as he does. Of course, we've never seen Salter. He was a superstar down in Texas, but that brings about another point. When do we ever get anybody from Texas that makes it?
None come off the top of my head. Now, I don't follow recruiting very closely. Well, I don't follow recruiting very closely, so maybe there's somebody we're missing. But, yeah, like it seems like we don't hit on a lot of guys, Don.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Not out of Texas. I mean, that's in the recruiting world. That's what people comment all the time.
Right.
Well, he looks great, but he's from Texas. And you know our history with Texas. I don't know. It just blows my mind. If I could change the subject just for a second, our basketball recruit from a couple of weeks ago, was this Colin Q, the Frenchman?
Yep.
I was reading an article on the Rivals board from a Florida writer, and he thinks this guy is more than a hidden gem. He thinks he's going to walk in and really contribute to the Vol program.
In year one?
Yep.
You know, there was a lot of buzz about him just coming out of some of those prep games and some of the camps he had. Mm-hmm. Like, there has been some buzz about him. I know, you know, a lot of us will just look at star rankings and say, okay, well, he's kind of unranked or, you know, not really on the radar and have lower expectations. But that doesn't mean that he can't come in and play. So if he can come in, you know, as a two-guard off the bench or, you know, give you anything, that this team will be really, really deep.
You know, and of course, the original stories was, you know, he could score from all three levels, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
This guy was just right, and it was actually some kind of an all-star game. He had seen right toward the end of the year where he just basically took over and destroyed the other team. We'll see. I'm just hoping so. But I guess the biggest moment in a long time for Tennessee sports, so I sat down and watched 9 innings of baseball for UT Saturday, and I was just blown away with how great an experience that was.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully Tennessee can kind of keep that momentum rolling, because it is nice to feel relevant in a sport that you can watch on TV.
It is. All right, guys, I'll let you go.
Appreciate the phone call, Don. Don joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, you don't have to go about it alone. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. Give them a call, 865-558-8030, or visit them online at g3helpme.com. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. That's g3helpme.com. So, yeah, okay, so I guess, as Don pointed out, the tie there to Milton wasn't while he was at UCF. It was while Heupel was trying to get him to Missouri.
Makes sense.
Mm. Well, he was the offensive coordinator, I guess.
Still don't like it.
Yeah,
I'm anti any quarterback transfer, to be honest. Like,
anti any quarterback transfer?
Is it because that one kid from Stanford came in and heard it for you?
Was it Kelly Chris?
How many star quarterbacks have actually transferred and been like great? I mean, JT Daniels this year is supposed to be amazing.
Kyler Murray.
I think there's been a lot, man. Okay, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield. I think there's a lot.
We just take the scrubs.
There's the issue. One every year though.
Manziel. He transferred from Oregon.
Did he transfer?
He transferred from Oregon. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's what we listed was one every year.
Well, yeah, sure, but I mean.
There's only so many elite quarterbacks.
Jalen Hurts. I mean, yeah, there's only so many good quarterbacks. I think it happens often, but I just think, you know, there's so many quarterbacks that get recruited that.
And we just take the scrubs. People were so excited for Keller Chris. I was like, go watch that guy play at all, and your excitement's done. That guy was not worth anything.
Which I would go and say, you know, sure, some of them are going to be flops, but I would take somebody like Riley Ferguson. Who transferred from Aaron, went to Memphis, and was pretty damn good there. I don't need an NFL first or second round pick. I don't need a Joe Burrow or a Kyler Murray, but just get somebody to come in that can play like Riley Ferguson, who Tennessee let go, and then he went to Memphis and was pretty damn good.
Yep.
Worked out for us, though. I mean, he was with Dobbs.
Right, but I mean, he could have been the successor to Dobbs. He was still playing after Dobbs was gone, no?
Maybe 1 year. Mm-hmm. They came in the same time.
Right, but with the red shirt and such. I mean,
he could have played one more year, I guess.
I thought he was there at least in 2017. I thought maybe even 2018 as well. But either way, yeah, he played 2017. So, 1 year, which we could have avoided the Dormady Garantano mess of 2017. But, yeah, sure.
He wouldn't have waited around for 3 years.
Right.
So.
I just used him as an example. Mm-hmm. And he went to Memphis and had 70 touchdowns and 19 interceptions.
He was a beast.
That's what I'm saying. So, I do think quarterbacks can transfer and be good. I just don't think Tennessee's, you know.
Yeah, maybe Tennessee just can't pick him out.
Yep.
Ugh. We usually have the guys leaving. Or we bring in the scrubs.
Yep. At least we're consistent, I guess.
John, would you like to know our last quarterback we got from Texas in recruiting?
Our last quarterback we got?
Yeah, I've been looking for players,
actually.
It would
be Dormady, wouldn't it?
No. Will McBride.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I don't think anyone had any expectations for Mr. McBride.
Yeah.
We don't really recruit Texas at all. I've been looking through. We don't recruit Texas at all.
I feel like you should take some flyers on some, like, Texas three-stars just because, you know, some parts of Texas have such high-level competition. Like, why not? You know, if you got some extra room in the class, like, I don't know. It's like the same with Georgia. Like, if you go into a good county in Georgia, like, take a three-star out of a really high-power school and, you know, see if you can do anything.
Well, don't you worry, buddy. I'd imagine this staff's going to be really going after the three-stars in Georgia and Texas soon.
And Florida.
Don't you worry, Cam. Did we read anything to Brian Maurer, his Instagram post?
Oh, jeez. What did he do?
His little story.
I think I blocked him.
Loyalty is all I ask for as he's dropping back to pass 2 hours ago.
Oh, jeez.
I really just don't like him.
2 hours ago, as the quarterback report starts coming out.
Yeah, he was really loyal to the fans this past offseason, wasn't he?
Well, just
trying to fight the fans on Twitter.
As your Tennessee football updates. Tennessee looking for a quarterback. I guess. We got five of them, but we're still looking for a quarterback. This season's going to be so bad.
We're going to fire this guy after next year. I'm telling you.
The fun part is going to be
when it's over.
When it's over. Everyone talks about, well, at least be fun whenever we're losing because we're scoring a lot of points. I'm not so sure.
I'm not so sure either.
Since we're not going to have any damn quarterbacks, it seems like. We have no like, how would you feel if you were one of those four quarterbacks on campus right now? It's not necessarily the best stamp of approval, right, or the vote of confidence if you're bringing in another guy.
Yeah.
Well, you probably already know you suck. So.
Now, again, maybe – well, not Brian Maurer. He just wants loyalty. Now, again, maybe like you, some guys have already pretty much made it clear, like, hey, we're transferring, so Tennessee's just looking for depth at this point. But
why wouldn't they go ahead and announce that, though? Like, to just get – I mean, I don't – why
usually,
would they keep
I feel like,
it?
I feel like usually you wait till the end of spring. Like, maybe they're going
to – oh, okay, that would make sense. You're right.
Maybe they're going to try to have, like, one good showing on Saturday for the orange and white game.
You can go to that?
No. Hmm. No, I am going to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Good choice. Yeah, I remember that.
I believe I'll be going to the Hawks and Heat game.
Oh, great choice. Nice to always be able to get down there and see a win.
Yeah. No, looking forward to that. I think that's my plan. I'm going to go see my buddy.
Cool.
Jacob Wright's in over under five wins. I mean, I'm definitely not taking the over.
With this easy schedule, this is so sad.
I mean, I'll say five seems about right, Jacob. I mean, I'd imagine whenever Vegas sets the over under officially, it's going to be 5.5, wouldn't you think? I mean, I'd imagine FanDuel will have it up pretty soon, 5.5. You think it'll be higher than that?
Mm-hmm. It'll be 6.5.
We just went 3-7, bro.
I know, but the FPI is projecting Tennessee to win six or seven games. That's where they always set the line around. It's like they're around the FPI. It's like 6 or 7 games. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What was Tennessee's FPI last year? Because our over-under was like 4.5.
It was, well, before the season, it was like 6 or 7.
That's what I'm saying. The actual over-under was 4.5.
I'm talking about before like the schedule change, because people were talking about how low it was. It was like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure once the schedule changed, it was 4.5, I'm pretty sure. Because I had friends that bet on it. We all thought it was like a mistake. That
out of 10?
Yeah.
The 10 game? But I was saying the FPI had us like winning 6 or 7 out of 12.
All right, let's just run through the schedule right quick. Orange and white game, loss. Bowling Green, you should win. Pitt at this point.
Bowling Green was so terrible last year.
Yeah.
They're like one of the worst teams in the FBS.
You should beat Bowling Green. Pittsburgh, toss up. Fair to say? Toss up?
Yes, toss up.
Tennessee Tech, win. There's two wins. At Florida. Jeez.
Loss.
Toss up.
What?
Obviously joking. Loss. At Missouri.
Loss.
I would like to beat Missouri, please.
No. I would love to beat Missouri, but
no, we'll lose them.
Home against South Carolina. We should win that game.
Okay, so that's 3-3.
Mm-hmm. All right, 500.
Ole Miss at home.
Loss.
Yeah, probably.
At Alabama.
Loss.
Toss up.
3-5.
Open date.
Loss.
At Kentucky.
Oh, God. Probably loss.
We throwing 3 pick sixes?
Loss. Honestly, probably loss. That's 3-6.
Georgia, loss.
3-7.
South Alabama, win. You should win. 4-7. Vanderbilt, you should win. 5-7. And that was being, you know, that's giving you what, the South Carolina game?
Yeah.
I mean, against Missouri, all right, so let's just say.
Missouri and Kentucky, I'd say, should be toss-ups.
So between Missouri, Ole Miss, and Kentucky, the question will become, can you win one of those games?
To get the 6, yeah. and just handle business.
We're not playing a bowl game.
Hold on. That would even count. So that would even count to, let's say, three, Vandy, South Carolina. Okay. So that would count Pittsburgh as well.
Oh, yeah.
So Pittsburgh, Ole Miss, Kentucky, and
Missouri.
Can you win one of those games?
Dude, I'd like to win two of those.
Right, but ideally, yeah, can you at least win one of those games? I mean,
yeah.
I think we need to win two of those.
Not to get to six. Bowling Green, Tennessee
Tech. Yeah, the three non-conference plus Vanderbilt, so that's four.
And then we also said South Carolina.
Oh, yeah,
I think South Carolina's going to be terrible. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
So, like, I think you have to win one of those four games to get to six, which, you know, like you said, probably won't even be eligible for a bowl game, most likely. Yeah.
Self-impose that ban. Let's do it.
But at least you avoid a losing season and you hit Jacob's over-under. So I guess, Jacob, now that we go through the schedule, I will go over five wins. I think Tennessee at the very least gets to five wins. And, well, I mean, if you're betting over-under, I mean, five's a push. So, like, I'm going over. I think Tennessee will get to at least five and should win six. Surely to God they win six. Although this team is going to be terrible. Like, this team on defense, like, it could be really, really bad.
We're actually going to have to score, like, 50 points to win a game.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing like some incompetent offensive team like Vanderbilt or something like that.
What a stupid exercise this was. Go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Been talking about the orange and white game. Fan Run Radio doing a meet and greet. Leading up to the kickoff of the orange and white game, we'll be at the Old City Sports Bar, 106 South Central Street. We'll be out there from 12 to 3:30, teamed up with the Outkick crew.
Pretty sure they're doing, Old City Sports Bar is doing free beer till the keg blows. First quarter. First quarter or keg blow, whichever one ends first.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw an ad
on
Facebook or something. But
Verify that. I don't want you telling everybody that and then getting them there and getting them mad at us. Have them screaming at Nate.
Got them.
Cam told me free beer. Cam told me free beer, but come out, hang out with some of the Fan Run Radio crew, as well as the Outkick guys.
Yep, free beer for the entire first quarter or until the keg blows.
12 until 3:30. Does it say when that starts? At kickoff, I guess?
I'm assuming kickoff.
What time is kickoff?
4, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
You don't know what time kickoff is? You said you're going. Didn't you say you're going?
Just roll in whenever you want to.
Just roll in whenever you want to? Fair enough.
You ain't not going to be missing much.
I feel like you need to get there at the beginning, though. I feel like the beginning's important.
Welcome, Josh Heupel.
You going to boo?
Man, it's going to be wild when
yeah.
Don't boo.
It's going to be wild when Maurer gets a concussion in the orange and white game.
All right, you two. It's impressive. Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious. It's hilarious.
I'm just going to support my boy.
You're going to support your boy?
Yeah.
Who's your boy?
Dane.
Oh. Is that a gray hair in your hair?
Yeah, it is, John. It is. You know, every time I go get my hair cut, they're like, kind of got some gray hair up here.
I feel like you're too young. I feel like you're too young
because,
for that.
It's because of you, really. It really is.
Me? Yeah, because I'm so stressful. I give you so much stress.
That's why he shows up late.
10 minutes late. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, that's really what it is.
You're obviously taking this very, very seriously, and you're worried yourself to death as you roll in here 5 minutes late every day.
It's just the responsibility is almost too much. Just having
to come here and click a couple buttons.
Well, yeah, and then just like prep all the stuff.
Prep.
You know.
You mean the overrated, underrated topics?
Yeah, and then like
trivia. It's really probably trivia. It's probably trivia.
It really is trivia. Just like trying to salvage the game from Draven. You know,
Draven getting all the shots today. Hey, be nice to him. His tummy's got an owie.
That's three things right there. That's pretty stressful.
Fair enough.
Well, Tennessee football, basketball.
I feel like you should be above that. Are people still worrying about that?
I actually like told one of my friends, like, they were like, oh, how do you think we're going to be this year? And I was like, well, I really just don't care. I don't care anymore.
I'm so over it. That's all my family and friends want to talk about. Like, I was, you know, I'll go out. I went out on Friday with some friends, had a birthday party, went out afterwards. And, you know, I meet people. I love meeting people. People come talk to me. I love it. I'm like, hey, thanks. And then every now and then about 30% of the time, they'll then want to stop me and ask me about the football team. I'm just like, bro, like, you know just as well as I know. They suck. They stink. Don't go get your hopes up. Then I go down Saturday to, you know, my brother's birthday party, and people there that just know what I do want to talk to me about it. I'm just like, can we talk about literally anything in the world else? You see those gun violence things? You got see those shootouts? Oh, wow, another cop has killed someone else. Can we talk about that instead? Literally anything else. Deshaun Watson, what do you think? Innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Just anything else besides Tennessee football.
Yep.
Somebody really sat down next to me and was like, so what do you think about Josh Heupel? I was like, what do you think I think of Josh Heupel?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't. Exactly. I don't think of Josh Heupel. Like, no disrespect to him. Hayden's the one booing you, not me, coach. Like, I know it's the – until further proven, it's just going to be what I always talk about. I don't blame you. It'd be like if we put Hayden at left tackle in an SEC game. I wouldn't be mad at Hayden for not being able to block. I'd be like, why the hell is he out there?
Hey, apparently he's better than the home if it's
– He used to be. He used to be better than a left tackle, which I did that on accident. But, yeah, you used to be. But, like, yeah, if they put you out there at quarterback and you're throwing the ball on the ground, I'd be like, well, what do we really expect? It's not Hayden's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drake's not their receiver, not catching anything.
Right. I wouldn't yell at you guys. I'd be like, receiver. What are they here for? He's underqualified for the job. So I have no ill will towards Josh Heupel. I hope that he is good here. And if he's not, I'm not going to be mad at him as long as he, like, you know, isn't a jerk. To be like, are you guys still mad at Pruitt?
No.
Because I feel like people got pretty venomous towards him towards the end.
I just thought he was
just a dumbass.
Didn't know what he was doing. Yeah, pretty much.
He literally had never been a head coach before, so it was just like, well, he's a cheater. So
yeah, and the quarterback stuff was a little maddening, but like, you know, you could make the argument like, okay, well, he kind of was what you thought he was going to be. A defense guy that defense wasn't very good, but the questions you had about him were like, can he run a program? Like,
recruiting was good.
Yeah, somewhat. Kinda. It was okay.
It was
you were cheating to get him and they were fine. Good. Like, but like, do you blame him for not being able to run a program? Because wasn't that the question about him? Like, as a coordinator? Wasn't that the red flag? Like, hey, don't know if he can run a program, never done it before, and guess what, guys, he didn't. He ended up getting you on probation because he tried to do what Alabama does with their cheating, but he doesn't know how to do it because he hadn't learned at the lower level.
Yep.
Just because you hung around Jesse James don't make you Jesse James type of thing. Like, you could be on Michael Jordan's team, but you don't become Michael Jordan. Yep.
I just go back to the night we were supposed to be doing a basketball voluntary action. It turned into 3 hours of football. Talk about how people were going to revolt on the university if we got Josh Heupel.
And they didn't. And they lined back up for the most part. They've all been the good little pay pigs they are and just but signed back up and squealed for the season tickets.
But I'm not.
Take my donation.
I still feel I'm not as angry as I was that night, but I still feel the same way about Josh Heupel. He is a loser, and he can't recruit.
Well, I'm not going to call him a loser, but I will say.
He is a loser.
Well, I'm not going to call him a loser. You could call him a loser if you want. Again, that's Hayden Wallen, not me, John Reed. But I'm not calling him a winner by any means. But I will say, like, yeah, much like Jeremy Pruitt had the question marks of can he run a program, I got the in coach offense, I have the question marks about Josh Heupel. Can he recruit? Can he sell the program? So far, he hasn't.
0-2 on those so far.
Right. Nothing like getting
play dodgeball.
Nothing like getting.
I play dodgeball too, Heupel.
That's honestly, John. That's what pisses me off the most. When everybody's like, "Oh, it looks like they're having fun over there, guys." This is the exact same stuff that people said when we were playing airsoft outside, which was a recruiting violation outside in the practice facility. That's the exact same stuff. They're like, "Oh, they love Pruitt. They love to be out there playing. It's like we have a team again." Yeah, you know what? We don't. We suck.
I got no disagreements here.
Lost two in-state guys who are supposed to be a lock for Tennessee to Kentucky.
Oof.
On Friday after we got off the show, the Wade twins, who like 2 weeks ago said like it was going to be for sure Tennessee, and now it's Kentucky all of a sudden. So it's just like we're not even talking to these guys.
Again,
Glad we're going after that quarterback, though. It's nice.
Well, I will say that, like, I will say that there's nothing that gets you ready for the orange and white game rather than saying, hey, none of these guys you're probably going to watch today is going to be our starting quarterback next year. Right? I mean, like, hey, the quarterback's supposed to be, like, selling you. Like, the one people want to see is Caden Salter. He won't be out there. Yeah. And the other guys, like, aren't most likely going to be your quarterbacks, or like, at least they're going to be in heavy contention now if the guy you're just bringing in because you didn't think those other three guys were good enough.
Let's debut this new fast start offense with somebody we're not even going to play next year.
Still want Jimmy Holiday out there.
Maybe he doesn't want us to get scouted, John. Maybe he doesn't want Florida to scout us in the spring game. What about
big
that?
Big brain play.
You think he's worried about Florida right now? He better be worried about Bowling Green. Yeah, better be worried about Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh for sure. Yeah,
Florida's way down the line. You better be worried about Pat Narduzzi lingering around. Because Pat Narduzzi's going to come into Knoxville, and he still views us as a signature win. Florida don't give a damn about beating us. Pittsburgh, though, is going to be coming here champing at the bit, foaming at the mouth. Getting ready to get put on the map. Mocking the SEC after they beat us.
We'll oblige, I'm sure.
Hour one in the books. What a fun hour that was. Hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.